Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome into another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. This one is presented by our partners at Bet Rivers and also by Underdog Fantasy. Get a 100% first deposit match up to $100 with the code FIELD. Rob, man, we got a lot to talk about. And I know your voice, you're struggling a little bit because, you know, listen, you're working harder than you've ever worked. So, like, this is not, you're not used to this grind. But the good thing is, in 14 days, Rob, you will be back at the golf course.
It might be sooner. I think I've got something lined up for Houston. Let's go.
Wait. You're doing the golf instead of the shows? We got shows out there in Houston.
I got offered to play maybe, potentially, over at Tiger Woods course, Blue Jack National. So I will say to the shows, sorry about you.
All right, I don't blame you. We'll give you a mulligan on that one.
That's only for one day though. Yeah.
Right. Let's start. Crazy. Hey, we can only start one place here.
I know. Right?
I mean, you know where we're starting.
I do.
All right. So as a Purdue guy, give me your take on obviously the Boilermakers losing to FDU here in what is the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament, and one that has really drawn a lot of criticism for Matt Painter because of recent exits here.
Right.
It's hard to make excuses for this game, isn't it, Rob, for this game?
Yeah, but I mean, I think not to throw the players under the bus too, but you're wide open. Like, you're wide open shooting these shots. I think more so the concerning part has to be for Purdue that this is three consecutive years of losing to a double-digit seed. Some of the press break issues have been concerning for a long time. But the game plan was just to front Zach, and if you were passing into him from the strong side, basically that guy would play in between and make you uncomfortable, but he's really not guarding the guy for a shot.
Right.
And then there'd be someone on the backside. I saw videos where there was four FDU defenders around Zach Edey, and all you got to do is skip the ball and shoot an open shot. All these Purdue fans have been out and they're saying, well, why don't we do something else? Why don't we adjust? Why don't we, what should we start doing Mason Gillis ISOs that we haven't seen all year long?
These are shots I could make. These are shots I could make. Right.
I'm saying they're horse shots. They're wide open. And I get it where you're like, all right, well, if you're missing, maybe you try something else. But if you're getting open threes for shooters that you feel are capable, the Braden Smiths, the Fletcher Lawyers, the David Jenkins, Mason Gillis made 9 threes in a game when Micah Shrewsbury did the same exact thing. He made 9.
Shoot the ball.
Right. In a way, I'm like, well, just make a couple of these. We're not even talking about it. And if you make a couple early, FDU's probably like, all right, we can't do this. We can't just totally sell out.
Yeah.
And stop Zach. We've got to also, you know, but my biggest concern with this is, and it was a little bit with St. Peter's, and I have still never watched the St. Peter's game because I was doing the Kansas Providence game at the same time, and I never wanted to watch it. I never will watch it. But from everything I've heard about it, you know, St. Peter's is small, much like FDU. in North Carolina, the game after Purdue against St. Peter's, just totally physically imposes their will on them. And that's why is Purdue not doing that as the bigger, stronger, more physical team? Why is FDU getting offensive rebounds as the smallest team in all of college basketball? You know, when Tobin Anderson said that stuff, I was like, this dude is a dumbass. This dude is a huge dumbass. Yeah. But he really Babe Root, he called a shot.
He did.
You know, which is pretty impressive.
By the way, he just took the Iona job. He just took the Iona
really?
Job. Yeah.
But you could see the pressure just building and building and building. I don't know why that's been the case the last couple of years. I saw it against North Texas. I think, well, I didn't watch the St. Peter's game.
Well,
did that happen against St. Peter's?
Rob, it's easy because you – now, I know some of these guys are freshmen. They didn't go through it last year, but the Ethan Mortons, some of those guys, obviously Mason Gillis, did. So you get tight. You get tight because you've
the arena turns on you, and all of a sudden, even though it's a pro-Purdue crowd probably, it really becomes where all other fan bases are rooting against you, which for, you know –
Does Matt Painter – here's my question. Here's my big question. Does Matt Painter have to pivot a little bit? He loves the bigs. He loves the traditional bigs, and they've worked for him in the regular season, as they have for a lot of other programs, Kentucky, Illinois,
this
years.
Is a question not just for Matt Painter, but I think for a lot of the Big Ten and,
correct.
And Kentucky. And, yeah, I don't know. I am at a loss for – now, I will say – I think I'm as convicted as ever in thinking that the Big Ten, for a lot of its struggles, it's been that we don't have elite pro guards. I'm looking at Arkansas, who I saw last week, and it's like, holy shit.
They have
beasts.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about Nick Smith. Right. He looked very average.
Or below you're talking average. About Ricky Council out of
Ricky
the portal.
Ricky Council, Jordan Walsh, yes. Beast.
Anthony Black.
And Anthony Black was just okay. It was more so Council and Devo Davis. Those guys.
And Council came out of the portal a couple years ago from Wichita, Rob.
Think about all the good different. Wichita State players, Dexter Dennis and yes. Ricky Council, who were in Des Moines looking like studs and had gone to the SEC, kind of post Greg Marshall.
Right.
They stayed in
a year or two. Painter tried for Nigel Pack.
But that's the thing, too. Right. I don't think Purdue was in a place with NIL then to get a lot of the better players. You're talking about Courtney Ramey, Tyrese Hunter, Jameer Young. I think they recruited a lot of guys. But we were not in a place at NIL, I think, at Purdue to really be a player. Right. I think that it's in a better spot now.
I'll say this, Rob. Whether or not you got those guys, you should be beating FDU.
No, totally. You should beat them. You should beat them. You should overwhelm them.
Totally.
They're a bunch of 6'4 dudes.
Yes.
You know, they're 300th in KenPom.
Yep.
They grade out from a metric standpoint as a bad basketball team. FAU a game. I was going to say, if FAU just punks these dudes, you would have to look at yourself and be like, how did this happen?
I'm going to defend Matt Painter here. I'm going to defend Matt Painter. And I said this the other night. When I was at Arizona, I was there for 5 years. So three of them, they lost in the first round to a 12, a 14, and a 5th. Miami of Ohio, East Tennessee State, Santa Clara with Steve Nash. But we didn't know at that point who
was Steve Miami, Ohio, Wally?
No, it was not Wally. It was, I can't remember the kid's name. Big, undersized.
Right, you were there in the 80s. You weren't there in the 90s.
No, it was the 90s. It was early. It was mid 90s, early to mid.
Wally was 98.
Anyway, Lute Olson became a Hall of Famer. Why? He won. Now, he had been to Final Fours before that, so it was different than Payne. Different than Payne. But he won a national title a few years after that. He lost 3 of 4 years in the first round. The other year I was there, they went to the Final Four and ended up losing. But he won a national title in 97, and that made him a Hall of Famer. That changed everything for him. Matt Painter's got a decision to make now.
He's one Final Four away from this narrative going away.
That's right.
I really believe that. I think if you go to the Final Four, sure, they might say, well, it was rough there, but he ended up breaking through. This does not define him as a coach. I think it certainly hurts. I'm sure he's hurting right now.
Oh, yeah.
No one is hurting worse than him. I can promise you that. But I do think that you are one run away from it being, all right, well, he made the Final Four. That's, yep, you know, that's the pinnacle of the sport, winning the national title. But yeah, you're right. They should beat FDU. Even when they don't play well, they should beat FDU.
Shouldn't matter. Shouldn't matter. There's no excuse for that one. I put some on the players. Obviously, you got to put some on paint. As much as we like him, as much as we respect him, you got to put some on paint there. And I'm sure he'll take it. My guess is,
yeah, I'm sure he would too.
He'd probably take all of it right now for his players, knowing paint. But yeah, I think you have to recruit a few higher level athletes right now.
Yeah. I think the ability to get into the paint and alleviate the pressure on Zach Edey, because you throw in the post and they can load up. And we saw that.
Yeah.
And with the guards that are around him, it's a shooting team with, on paper, good shooters. And I would say in games, some guys that are good and some that have been a little up and down.
Yeah. They're streaky. They're very streaky.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Streaky is a good word. But at the Big Ten tournament, they shot well. And they, you know, the issue there was breaking the press against Rutgers, against Penn State. And honestly, if Penn State's turning you over, no offense to their team, they don't turn you over. So that's certainly – but that's more athletic guards.
So Michigan,
I'm watching
State,
Miami break the press against Indiana,
yeah,
and they're breaking those things for dunks.
Yeah.
Isaiah Wong's hanging on rims.
Michigan State's the last team standing in the Big Ten. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I've been saying it, remember?
Did you pick them to the Final Four?
I did, and you laughed at me, and everybody laughed at me. But you know what Tom Izzo has?
I was offended because I picked them to win the Big Ten tournament, and they lost on the first day to Ohio State.
Well, you know why? Because Izzo doesn't give a – well, he does give a shit about the Big Ten tournament, but Izzo –
he's won more than anybody. He's
in
won
the
more
NCAA
than anybody
tournament.
Has.
But in the NCAA tournament, man, with Tyson Walker, I was not surprised one bit they beat Marquette. Not one bit. Because, again, they got good guards. And
but you know why I'm surprised they beat them?
Because they didn't shoot it.
They did it while going 2 of 18 from 3 or whatever.
Agreed.
That's why I'm surprised.
But they can.
But they're, you know what it was, though, Jeff? It was their two-point defense.
Right.
And that's been a struggle for them all year long. Yeah. Because Sissoko has kind of gotten beat up, I would say, by the Hunter Dickinsons, the Trey Jackson Davises, the Zach Edeys. And now all of a sudden, he's probably like, the Big East, sign me up for this.
Yeah.
Omax Prosper, this isn't like, I'm not getting abused physically here. And he played well, but their two-point defense was good, and it hasn't been good in Big Ten play.
Because they have veterans. They have veterans. That's a big part of this.
Their top six are veterans. You know who actually gave them some good minutes, too, is Carson Cooper.
Cooper was decent. He was decent.
Yeah,
He battles in there. He gives them another big body if they need it. And again,
they
have versatility. That's the beauty of this Michigan State team. They got some versatility, and they're not going to shoot it again next game. I actually think Michigan State beats Kansas State, although Marquise Noel is a
boy. He's a beast.
Oh,
he's a beast.
My goodness.
Why did Cal call him the little kid from New York City?
I don't think it was disrespectful. I think it was just, you know, a lot of guys call the guys kids, and he's 5'7". I don't think it was disrespectful. I don't think it was meant to be, but it came across that way.
A lot of these coaches, I was watching a video of, it was in the women's tournament. The Georgia women's coach didn't know any of the Iowa players' names outside of like Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But and she said something that I think some of the Iowa players were offended by. But to me, a lot of these coaches don't actually know the players' names.
Right.
They know their numbers.
Yep. That's
fine. They know them as 12 or 22 or 25.
Remember when Bob Knight used to call games? All he used to do is use numbers. He didn't know any of their names.
Bob Knight used to, while he was calling games, yell at the refs, too. He'd be like yelling at Eddie Hightower. Give that set off to yell at the refs. Yeah.
Man, that's classic.
It's a rivalry etched in time.
We're presented by our partners at Underdog Fantasy. Use the code FIELD to get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play college basketball pick 'em, where you can get a little extra sweat during March Madness and win real cash prizes by picking player stats in this weekend's games. In pick 'em, all you do is predict whether a player will go higher or lower on Underdog's projected totals. For example, if you're like me and you think So Zach Eady, he didn't change it. All right, I'm gonna change it here. All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In Pick'em, all you do is predict whether a player will go higher or lower on Underdog's predicted totals. For example, if you're like me and you think Drew Timmy is going to go nuts in the tournament, pick higher on his points projection, add up to 4 more picks, and if you hit them all, you can win 20 times your money on a single game. Underdog's slick mobile app is easy enough that even I have figured it out. So go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, use the code FIELD, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Now's the time to get in on March Madness. So remember, underdogfantasy.com, use that promo code FIELD. All right, speaking of Hall of Fame coaches, one Rick Pitino has left Iona and gone to St. John's. He's also been replaced by, as we mentioned earlier, Tobin Anderson, FDU head coach, just told me, he informed his team. We're recording this here on, what day is today? Tuesday at about 12:30 Eastern. Rick Pitino to St. John's, you like it?
Yeah, but I've been to St. John's because my roommate from college was a GA there. They're under the Chris Mullen administration.
That was quite an administration.
I ended up playing 3-on-3 with Chris Mullen, so that was sweet. That was probably the highlight of the
time. Could he still play? Could he still shoot?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He has a flame. Yes. Best shooter on the floor as a 50-year-old man, which hurt me at the time, but he played on the Dream Team. Their facilities stink.
Yep.
Their campus is not great, but we'll see. The funny thing is that Pitino was talking about how Iona was his last stop.
Yes.
That to me is the most
comical
thing.
Oh, but he's full
thing.
Of shit. He's always full of shit.
I know, but you just have to say, all right, he's not being truthful, right? He wanted that job to win and then go somewhere better.
Of course. And you can't blame him for this one. He doesn't have to move, number one. And now he can sell two things, Rob. He sells himself, a Hall of Famer who's arguably the best X's and O's coach and developer of talent out there.
I will say, though, Danny Hurley punked those guys.
Well, but they were more talented. I mean, come on.
You were talking all that shit, were you not?
You had Sonogo and Klingon. Like,
hold on. Don't ignore what I just said. Were you talking all that shit about Danny Hurley being afraid of Rick Pitino?
Yes, I was.
And then they came out and 30-pieced him.
Hurley and I made up. Him. Hey, we made up in Albany.
Why were you guys beefing? He came on the podcast. He was good.
He was great. We weren't beefing. I just said the truth when he
was scared of Rick Pitino.
No,
and then
this was in December. I said that Big East officials were tired of his antics when he said
that's probably accurate.
It is accurate, and we hugged it out a little bit. We've known each other for 20 plus years. I don't like having enemies, as you know.
Oh, yeah, you don't.
So he could sell himself. He can sell Madison Square Garden, and I'm told one of the things that he wanted to make sure was NIL, obviously, at St. John's. He doesn't care about practice facility, any of that shit.
I know.
He's been at Iona.
Right. I know he doesn't care about that stuff. I just think that it's not a place that's going to be easy to get kids to want to come to, but if you start winning, and we know he can coach, there's no doubt about that.
Madison Square Garden isn't a place where kids want to play, Rob?
No,
I mean,
I'm not.
They don't play every game there. But
did I say that? Did I say, wow, the Garden is a real bummer to play at? I'll say this: I played at the Garden when there's 2,500 people there, and yeah, it is a bummer to play there when there's 2,500 people.
Well,
there
that was because you were the Timberwolves. You guys lost 100 games.
No, it was when I was at Purdue and we were playing in the preseason NIT against Blake Griffin, and there was nobody at the game.
Wow. Did Blake dunk on you? Hey, how many times did Blake dunk on you that game?
No, I didn't guard him. I just doubled him the whole game. Jawan guarded him, and I guarded Taylor, and we doubled Blake for the entirety of the game, and he still had 20 and 20.
Blake was literally people that don't know.
In the pregame talk, I remember being at the hotel watching film, and Coach Payne was like, "You guys have to understand, this is legitimately Karl Malone. This is the
more
college
athletic
version of Karl Malone.
More athletic.
Yeah, seriously. He did do this thing. I thought he killed Etuan Moore." I really thought he killed him with the basketball. He jumped up on the baseline to save a ball.
Yeah.
And he jumped up as high as he could and turned to throw it off somebody, and Etuan had fallen down. It was kind of like looking back, and he spiked it off Etuan's head with like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Freak. He was a freak. I thought
he killed him.
All right. In other Big East news, Ed Cooley leaves Providence for Georgetown in what is one of the more fascinating coaching searches we've
had. He was an assistant at Georgetown for John Thompson. Is that accurate?
No, that is not accurate. You're making that up. That's fake news.
Oh, I thought I read that. So he has, what is his affiliation to Georgetown? Nothing?
Well, his daughter is graduating from Georgetown this year. So he has long desired the Georgetown job and understood, again, obviously also, it's in a great area. It's got high upside.
Yeah.
The recruiting base is awesome. And obviously the other part, being a black head coach, getting a chance to coach Georgetown means something to Ed Cooley. I've talked to him about this job for years, just shooting the shit with him. Years.
I just think that there's something about being the king of your what do they say he's the king of Rhode Island, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He has that place.
Grew up there, has it rolling there. Everybody loves it. Well, everybody loved Ed Cooley in Providence. They do not like him right now. And
is it gonna be a beard like deal?
It might be close. Like those fans are insane. Those students, you know, they had to change the rule where, I don't know if you saw this, at the end of the season, a couple of fans threw a tall boy down and hit a couple students, hit fans, older fans, with full or half full tall boys. So they basically now make them pour them in the cups.
You East Coasters are crazy.
Crazy.
The people that live on the East Coast are insane.
We have no tact at all whatsoever. anyway, Cooley to Georgetown. You know, to me, here's the reason. The other reason is, I think part of it was, it had, in their opinion, in the Cooley's opinion, it was time. They've been there 10 years. He grew up.
Like, you'd accomplished, you'd almost maybe maxed. Although they were knocking on the door of playing in the Elite Eight. They almost beat Kansas last year.
But I think he felt like the expectations were so high to get to the Sweet 16 every year. And at Providence, that's very difficult to do. At Georgetown, and especially now, you could flip it quicker in the portal. Like, if it had been 10 years ago, I don't think he would have taken it.
No, you'd be 4 or 5 years away.
Yes. He's getting more money. But honestly, he's got more money than he knows what to do with right now anyway. I like the hire. And now the question is, what do you do next at Providence? The name that I've heard, I don't know if you played against him or not, is Kimmy English at George Mason.
Yeah. We didn't play against each other in college, but in the NBA and at the Combine and stuff. Great guy.
Yeah. Kimmy's in the mix there. Micah Shrewsbury, there'll probably be some news that breaks with him, whether it's Notre Dame staying at Penn State. I don't think he'll look at Providence, but I think, you know, he'll look at Notre Dame. My gut says he'll stay at Penn State there. All right, let's get to
really? And just get a real commitment from the university or what?
They already have. NIL already major step up.
You know, good for Penn State, because they've said they want to commit to basketball, but this is a time where you've got to put your money where your mouth is.
And
we need to talk also about Indiana.
Do we have to?
Yeah, if you're going to wear that sweatshirt. Yeah, we have
I'm in
to.
Mourning. I'm more in mourning of the women's team losing to Miami, but they were swept by Miami.
I just can't believe that they drew in the same round, the same team, and they lost to both. That is insane.
Here's what I'll say about the men. All right, here's what I'll say about the men. Watching the Indiana men compared to the Miami men, two things stood out. Number one, the quickness and athleticism and toughness of Miami, okay? Number two, the bigger problem for me, the Miami players played with a passion, with an intensity, with an emotion of their head coach, Rob. Larrañaga's laughing on the sideline in timeouts.
They're so free. They're so free and just hooping. Just hooping. And Indiana kind of looked a little bit like Purdue, where it was, you know, really tight.
Tight, and they just show no emotion. I love Trace. I love him. But he shows very little emotion. Jalen,
he's never been a guy that's going to be overly emotional on the floor.
Jalen, no emotion.
I do feel bad for Trace Jackson Davis in the sense that, much like Zach Edey, if there was people on the backside that would consistently make shots, he would have free reign. I mean, he had an incredible season, much like Zach did too. Both those guys, Trace had a stretch in January and February where he was just carrying that team. The Minnesota game where pretty much everybody played like crap except for Trace. Awesome.
Yep.
He was unbelievable. He had multiple games like that up in Michigan where they won by one. I mean, just I do feel bad, too, that I think that statistically he is one of the greatest players to ever play in Indiana. And I think that the thing that is going to be looked at with him is the lack of team success.
He won one tournament game in the real bracket.
He won a first four game, and he won the game against Kent State.
Yep.
He never played in the Big Ten tournament final. He never won a Big Ten regular season championship. That's hard to believe because he's so good.
Woodson's another one like Painter that's got to change because you need more shooters on the floor rather than playing the bigs.
That was their issue with Archie Miller too.
Correct.
I mean, they just couldn't. They offensively were so bad they couldn't make shots. And yeah, I mean, Miller Kopp, they were so low volume too. Kopp would have games where they'd shoot good percentages,
right?
But Galloway is shooting 50% on like one attempt a game.
Yeah.
Kopp is on two attempts a game.
I know.
You know, they're making them, but they're just not shooting very many.
I feel like Woodson is just still playing like coaching like 1990s NBA style.
But he's coached in the NBA in the current era.
I know.
Why would he say, like, let's coach this team? I think part of it's who he had personnel-wise.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you bring Race Thompson back, and Race was one of their better players at the end of last year. He comes back, Trace comes back. You know, I guess you could argue they should have went out in the portal and got more shooting.
Right.
But I'm sure you also don't want to implode your team.
Yes.
Look at what Tom Izzo did. He refused to do it because he didn't want somebody coming in and ruining the group that they had.
All right, let's finish here for 2 or 3 minutes on who you like coming out of each region right now. Who you like now, almost a reset of the Final Four. And let's start with the South region in Louisville. It's Alabama, San Diego State, Creighton, Princeton. I assume you like the Alabama-Creighton matchup there.
Yeah.
I love it. Very. I think it's going to be that. If we get that, that would be a hell of a game offensively. You still like Alabama coming out of there?
Yeah, they're playing really well. I'd go Bama.
Yep, agreed. All right. We'll go over to New York in the East, and we'll finish with the two regions we're going to be at. In the East, it is number 3 Kansas State against number 7 Michigan State, number 4 Tennessee against number 9 FAU. Who do you like?
You know what's going to be important for those Tennessee games is how they officiate the game.
Yeah.
Because you got your boy Plavchich in there just doing the dirtiest stuff you'll ever see. That dude is – he might be the dirtiest player in college basketball. He's physical, but he crosses the line a lot.
Yes.
But you know what? He set the tone against Duke. There was no doubt from the start of that game that he had set the tone. And they're as physical as anybody. You know, they have bodies and they can come at you in waves. But he also had 2 fouls in the first, like, minute and a half. So that'll be important. I'm going to go Kansas State. I think Noel is a beast, and Keontae Johnson is too. I'll go Kansas State.
All right, you know where I'm going. Michigan State, Tom Izzo. Absolutely. All right, your region, Kansas City. You're going to be there this week. Great game.
Boy.
Great game.
Yeah.
Houston,
yeah.
Number 1 Houston against number 5 Miami. Number 2 Texas and Rodney Terry, acting head coach, against Xavier and Sean Miller in his first year. You have so many great storylines in this.
Agreed.
Not even you can screw this thing up on the radio.
Well, the good news is that on the radio, you don't have to talk all that much, although my voice begs to differ on that. It's Houston a little banged up, but
Sasser looked good.
He did look good. I really like the way Miami's playing, although they're tiny. They can get crushed on – even though they crushed Indiana on the glass.
Hey, have you seen Norchad in person yet?
No, I've not. This will be my first time.
He is awesome. He plays so damn hard, like beast. Just so, so tough, so physical. Gets every offensive rebound.
I'm going to say Houston and Texas advance, and I'm going to go Texas. I think they have every – And I think very highly of Kelvin Sampson.
Yep.
But they have experience. They've got really good guards. Dylan Dessou is playing at a super high level. They took Penn State. If Penn State did give them some problems, but I just think they've got everything. They've got depth in their front court. They've got depth in their back court. Sir Jabari Rice has had a great year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Texas, and I think that if Ronnie Terry gets the Final Four, how can he not get that job?
Have to give it to him. You have no choice. I mean,
yeah,
they don't want to, obviously, because they would have already given it to him by now. But yes, if Ronnie
he's a great dude. I really enjoyed talking to him.
Yep. I'm going Houston in that one still, but I love all four of these teams. I love all four of them, to be honest. I love the guard matchup between Texas and Marcus Carr and Tyrese Hunter against Kobe Jones and Sule Boom. And by the way, if you didn't know this, Rob, here's a little thing for you. Rodney Terry coached Sule Boom at
I know that. He told us. He was talking about how they had to make a decision between Sir Jabari Rice and Sule Boom in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I would say it worked out for both parties.
It did. Sir Jabari's been awesome too. All right.
You acted like you had this fact that was just impossible to know.
Well, you had
and you look at where Rodney Terry was last year, and he was there with
you had Ed Cooley as an assistant for John Thompson. I don't know.
I swear to God, I swear I'd read that he had some connection to Georgetown.
Just the daughter going to school there.
Well, that's not. I mean, I guess he's paid tuition to Georgetown then, but that's not. Although, look at you. You start paying tuition to Bloomington, and now all I see is you're wearing Indiana stuff.
Exactly. All right, last region, the West in Vegas, where I'll be playing some blackjack, sitting by the pool, watching some games. I mean, life cannot be better than for me this week in Vegas.
You know what's funny is before we got on here, you're talking about how you're so worn down and you don't feel good. Right. And you spent a month in Charleston, and now you're going to Las Vegas to cover.
6 weeks.
Then what are you worn down from?
It's tough being me, man. Tough. It's a tough life.
Yeah. You work for Stadium remotely. You write a couple articles. You do a show every day for 30 minutes. And that's hard.
And I got to do this podcast with you. That's the heavy thing I do.
The sad thing is, I got to renegotiate with Doster. I think that you're making way more money than I am in this podcast.
Listen,
you're making way more.
He's not able to divulge any financials involving this podcast.
I'm making 1/5 per month of what you're making.
All right, the West. UCLA Gonzaga and UConn Arkansas. Like, this is awesome.
No, that's high level. Arkansas was awesome to watch.
So was UConn. Des Moines. So was UConn.
And UConn played really well. So wait, it's UConn, Arkansas, and Gonzaga, UCLA.
Yeah, two West Coast powers.
That place will be jumping. That'll be sick.
Yes.
That'll be sweet.
It'll be really good.
You could convince me of any of those four teams coming
me
out.
Me too. I don't think Arkansas. I think they're too young.
Yeah, they don't shoot it well enough.
Right.
If I'm guarding Arkansas, I am on the elbows and boxes, and I'm just stopping the ball against everybody. You make 5 threes a game as a team, prove it.
I think I'm going Gonzaga, Rob.
I was going to say UConn.
I can be convinced of UConn. Absolutely. I think they beat Arkansas.
No disrespect to you. If UCLA was healthy, I'd go UCLA.
Me too.
If they had
too.
Their full collection of players, and not that they couldn't make it still, but I'll go UConn. I think they're playing well.
Who's your national title champ today? Is it still around? I can't remember. Who'd you pick?
On this podcast, I picked Purdue because I was exhausted.
Oh, right. I remember now. Yeah, good call.
I filled a bracket out. I filled a bracket out, and I think I picked Bama to win.
Bama. All right. So you stick with Bama. I'm going to stick with Houston.
On this podcast, I did say Purdue. In fairness, though, I'd worked all day, and I didn't want to do the podcast anyway, and you made me do it.
Oh, that's true. Isn't that every episode?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we will see you next week for what's will be a Final Four preview edition of the Goodman and Hummel pod. Thanks for joining us as always. We're out.